Hey guys, it's Ian from the Comic Timing Podcast over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. What you're about to hear is a recording of the podcasting panel from this year's New York Comic Con 2010, A Geek's Guide to Podcasting and Blogging. It was recorded on Friday, October 8th, 2010, and it was moderated by Brian Diemer of Comic Geek Speak. And I will take it to Brian Diemer now for the panel. Enjoy.
I'm one of the hosts of the Comic Geek Speak podcast. My other host, Peter Rios, was supposed to moderate, but unfortunately he couldn't attend the convention this weekend, so
he had to dance.
That's right. So before we begin, let's just look at these guys just real quick. 1 second each. Introduce yourselves.
1 second.
Hi, I'm John from the... Got me? I'm John from the Legion of Dudes podcast.
I'm Charlito from Indie Spinner Rap.
I'm Daryl from Fixer's Hideout, No Apologies, and the Nothing's On Podcast at Comic Book.
10 more.
I'm Ian Levesine from Comic Time.
I'm Sean Whalen from Raging Bullets.
I'm Christopher Naisman from Around Comics, 11 O'Clock Comics, and I Can't Roll Your Donuts.
So what we're going to do here, and we've done this before up at Fan Expo in Toronto and down at Heroes Con, and we're just going to take a real laid-back approach, and basically anybody can ask whatever question they want for us for about podcasting in general, and we'll just do our best to answer it in kind of a real, just natural conversation, and whatever you feel like talking about, you ask us, and we'll talk about it, and we'll involve you in the conversation. If you have thoughts and ideas, we'll just talk back and forth, and because really this is for you guys, whatever questions you have. And then we'll just kind of go from there. We'll see. It evolves. It's a little different on every show because different people have different things they want to talk about. So, who has a question?
Right here.
Go ahead.
What is the ideal podcast length of time? How long do you think
should be? Well, Sean has to answer this question.
I'll repeat the question. The question is, what is the ideal... What is the ideal length of time for a podcast? Should it be 15 minutes or should it be 15 hours?
I think it's really close to how many licks it takes to get to the center of attention. I've been on shows that are 15 minutes, I've been on shows that are 2+ hours, and I think it's different for whatever your taste as a listener is. A lot of people like to hit that 1 hour sweet spot. I think that's a good goal. But
average commute time.
Yeah. It's a good workout at the gym, because we all go to the gym. I think it's just whatever you're comfortable with as a listener. If you want to talk for 10 hours and it's entertaining, then it's good. If you want to talk for 15 minutes and it's entertaining, that's fine. But I think the baseline is talk for however long you can and remain entertaining.
Were you kind of wondering, I'm going to yell and I'm going to eat this thing. Were you kind of wondering if it makes a difference of the time, of how many listeners tune in? Does that make sense?
I feel like some people, have ADD and they just, get distracted very easily. So, unless, you're going to keep it, to the point, you shouldn't drag on for an hour unless you absolutely have to, unless that's the kind of audience you're looking for. But
can we close the doors in the back? There's a lot of noise coming in.
I think it really depends on the topic that you're talking about more than anything. Because, if you have a topic that can actually warrant a long podcast, I say go for it. If you're talking, for instance, an overscope of the DC Universe, that's going to take a lot more than 15 minutes to really do. But if you're talking about, one specific issue of something, unless you're really, really, really going in depth, like some people on this panel. hey, come on, you do it well. But sometimes that can only take 15, 30 minutes, and that's really what warrants that.
I think the answer, though, is that there's a variety of audiences out there. So I think you shouldn't try to make your podcast everything for everybody. You should know what you want to do. That way your listeners know who you are and what your approach is. So I think that there's exactly what you said, just from your statements, I can tell what kind of podcast you're looking for, which is great. There's a lot of tremendous podcasts out there that fit exactly what you said. I think that's one of the great things I like about listening to podcasts is the sheer amount of variety out there. And I would encourage you, if you're listening to podcasts right now, to take a look at just the Comics Podcast Network, Leading Comic Book Podcast. There's a lot of different podcast communities out there. And, you know, a lot of the forums I'm a member of have wonderful, the comic forums have wonderful links to amazing podcasts. Try out different podcasts and see what your flavor is. We tend to be a longer podcast, but a lot of our listeners work long days. And, you know, we've had comments from artists, we've had comments from people who work all day long that really like the link and actually ask for more. And the nice part is we enjoy the recording that we do. So I think that's important, because if you're enjoying what you're recording, then your audience, you're going to find an audience base that fits that. So I think rather than trying to be everything to everyone, just understand that there's going to be some people that don't fit into your podcast, and respect that. And just, you know, have your own identity so people know who you are and they know whether or not you're the right choice for them. Good. It's a great question.
Anyone else? Aaron, about it?
Have any of you guys had, like, successful enough podcasts to quit your normal job and just fully focus on the podcast?
All of them. We all live in a cardboard box in Central Park. Well, no one on this panel has. There have been some success stories. You know, we've gotten to the point where the show pays for itself.
iFanboy
is really turning into a business, and they've done a great job. But I think everyone on this panel will probably agree. We figured out a few years ago that a podcast in and of itself is not enough to bring the bacon home. It can be a part of a much larger picture. So if you look at iFanboy, they're a website, they have video podcast, audio, several audio podcasts. And now they're a part of a bigger company. To do a podcast by itself, I don't think that right now the listening audience is large enough to create the ad revenue that it would take for me to come home and say, honey, I'm gonna quit my job and I'm gonna podcast professionally.
It is the goal, though. I mean, for me personally, it's a goal. I love this more than my day job, and I really hope that one day it'll be possible to do that full time.
For me, it's actually not a goal. For me, it's more about a community of indie artists, small press, who are coming together and gives them a place and a voice and a place where they can meet each other and nurture that burgeoning talent that no one knows about yet, kind of. It's new, fresh. Because we know there's no money in indie stuff.
And and for me, there was a time where that was a goal for me. It's like, hey, we might be able to get enough sponsorship to actually turn this into at least a part-time job. That sucked a lot of the fun out of it for me. And it's whenever I came to the realization that, hey, you know what? I started doing this to have fun. And whenever I stopped having fun and it became, a job.
Work.
It's not, I have a job. I don't want to do it. So having fun with it became my primary focus again. I'm much happier.
I think that just like comic books for me, podcasting is a hobby, and it's a really fun one that, might take a little bit of time out of the day, but as long as you're enjoying what you're doing, just like, reading a comic book, podcasting is just like that. If you're having fun doing it, go ahead and do it. If you want to try and make money off of it, you can give it a go, but first, just really like what you're doing, like what Chris said, like what everybody seems to get at here.
If you start out with the intention of quitting your job, your podcast is probably going to fail because your focus is going to be in the wrong place. Because you need to figure out what your show is first, you need to figure out who your audience is first, and then figure out what your audience wants from you. And if you're comfortable giving the audience, if that meshes with what you want to do, then maybe you can make a living out of it. But first you have to figure out what it is that you're doing first.
When we started our podcast, it's a DC-only podcast, so I knew I was going in with a narrow scope. I'm a school teacher. I love my job. I think one of the things that kind of goes back to the time question from before, I think one of the things I love about the podcasting media is that it's very flexible. So I think whatever your intention is with it, I think you can, like you said, you can grow it into a business for the people that are interested in doing that. And if you want to do it as a hobby, that's great. I think one of the things that I enjoy actually about all the podcasts sitting here is we all treat it, though, as we're doing it professionally. Like, I do it as a hobby, but I take it very seriously. And a lot of that is due to the podcasts that came before me with their professional attitude towards it. And it's really great that I feel it's a wonderful medium to create something that you're very proud of in the end. And I love, it's very rewarding.
Yeah.
A lot of time put into it, but it's very rewarding.
So through this silly medium, we've all been given an opportunity to act professionally, you know, to market the product and try and create something that sounds professional, even if it is done by, you know, quote unquote amateurs. And that's a lot of fun, you know, trying to get the best audio quality or trying to have something that's really radio ready is a lot of fun. You listen back and you're like, yeah, you know what, that was hopefully entertaining, and that's what it comes down to.
Next question. Okay.
Professional?
That's a really good question.
You make enough money.
Well, I'll give an example of one I think that is clearly professional. It's not a comic book face, but one of my favorites is This Week in Tech. Right? You know, Leo Laporte's got hundreds of thousands of listeners. He used to be on television, so he has a national radio show. So clearly he was already a professional, and then he decided to talk and people wanted to listen. And, you know, it's a mega show. I mean, the guy makes millions of dollars a year podcasting. So that probably makes it professional. He's got a full studio and all that stuff. But in podcasting, the beauty of it, right, is that the bar of professionalism is so much lower than, say, television.
We have set the bar so low.
That's not what I mean. For example, the equipment that you need to do a podcast, right? You could buy if you wanted to be really professional, you could buy a $200 mixer and a $500 microphone and use your $1,000 Mac. And you have a professional podcast. You have the potential to have a professional sounding podcast. If you want to do a professional TV show, you need millions of dollars worth of equipment and actors and all that stuff. And, you know, so the barrier to entry to be professional is much lower.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think one of the things that's a little difficult too is that I mean, I know that my show is mainly, you know, via Skype. Like I'm talking to somebody, you know, from Orlando. As my co-host, and then having, you know, possibly somebody that could be as far as, you know, the UK or Australia on as well, and, you know, somebody that might, you know, very well be in New York but not in the same studio as me. So when you do something like that, I mean, you are just, like, you know, talking with your friends and having a great time, but audio quality might not be studio quality. It doesn't mean it's not still going to sound great, but it all depends on, you know, what equipment's being used by the other members of the show as well. Like, one person could be using a laptop mic. It doesn't mean that they still don't, you know what they're talking about or sound good enough to listen to.
Did you have any other, were you looking for something specific?
Usually when people refer to a job versus a profession, they actually have a set of standards. Like, if it's a job, your job is like retail, let's say, and then your profession is something that, like, you're recognized for because you are so good at it. Like, what would you say would make a great podcast?
Oh, I have no standards. Being consistent is a big thing. I think all of us have gone through the realization that if you're putting out a weekly podcast or a daily podcast or a monthly podcast, put it out daily, weekly, monthly. So I think consistency in when you release your product is very important. And also, format can be loose, but I think if you're going to have a show, you have a show. And if that's just three people or four people talking on Skype about what's going on with comics or what they're reading, that's fine. That's your format. You can go much deeper than that. But if you're going to approach it as a professional, I think those are the things that you look at. It's like, how often are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? And, you know, and who are we hopefully talking to? So, you know, I don't know if there's any set of actual standards, but there's, you know, there's great threads. I know there's a podcasters thread at the CGS boards that's been alive for, you know, a couple of years, and it's got some great advice from folks who've been doing it for a long time that will give you a much better idea how to get started.
Well, and to dig a little deeper as to when is someone defined as a professional? I think, you know, for example, when we first started and we wanted to get our first interview, you email some creator and you're like, hey, we do this podcast, and they're like, okay, kid, you know, whatever. But then somebody says yes, and then you do a good interview with them, and then you tell the next guy, well, we've already interviewed this person, and then they start to recognize that you're serious and that you're real and that you're not just some fanboy who wants to have a conversation with their favorite artist or something. And then they start to respect you, and they start to treat you like a professional. You know, and then the New York Comic Con gives you a press pass and a booth and allows you to do a panel, and that means that they recognize that, that you're professionals. So while, yeah, we don't make a living doing it, they treat us with respect, and that's good. And now there's some people who don't yet, and we're working on them to get them to realize that what we do is legitimate. But there are, for every one of us, there are 13, you know, 13-year-olds who want to have a podcast, and they're trying to contact people, and through email, you don't know, right? And anybody can make a website, you don't know. So you just, the word has to get around. Just like any reporter or any kind of thing like that, you know, you do your time in the trenches, and eventually you get some respect.
I think identity and integrity is important, too. Like, I think you hit a certain point in your show. Peter, I'm going to actually quote Peter Rios. He and I had a conversation similar to this once where he told me, like, 10 episodes he thinks is about the sweet spot for podcasts, because some podcasts don't survive beyond that. But I do think if you do survive beyond that, you kind of have an idea of who you are, how you want to put yourself out there, and I think your audience by then has an idea of who you are and what your show is and whether or not it's right for them. I, as a teacher, I've got a professional identity. You know, things that are important to me and how I want my students to view me and the parents. And I feel with the podcast, I have the same, I have a podcast identity. Something that's, it's very much me, but it's also something that when people hear my show, it's who I am, it's what I'm about, it's how I view the industry. And I think that's a part of it. I think it's something, I do think it's something we all have in common up here, that we have an identity and a professional integrity as podcasters. I really do.
Thank you. John again. Just to add to that, don't sell yourself short and think that you need to be professional to approach anybody or do anything. Just a quick story. We started off doing, we just had a group of guys that wanted to talk about the Watchmen, and we did a show for every Watchmen issue. And out of the blue, somebody said, you know what? I'm going to email Dave Gibbons. And he got back to us, and he did a recorded interview on, like, our third show ever. And, you know, so then we said, you know what, let's try Jonathan Hickman. Let's try, you know, some DC writers. And now we've gotten a ton of great names in our repertoire, like Brian was saying, that you could say, hey, we've done this, this, and that. We'd like to now, you know, and today I'm interviewing the directors for Fox, and, you know, like you said, we have press passes, and just don't go into it thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not, you know, I'm too small a group or too small a show to be able to do these things. You're not. If you go about it correctly, you know, write well-thought-out emails, and again, don't sound like a fanboy, and just have a little confidence, you'd be surprised.
The worst thing they can say is no.
Exactly. Right. I mean, they won't answer, but, you know, you move on to the next guy.
Any questions? Over there.
You talked a little bit about the cost that you get into a more professional point, but what's like a good entrance amount that you would have to spend to get started, to get set up? What's
something you mean, like funds? How much?
Yeah.
Like cash?
I mean, yeah, like how much?
Why live or internet? Are you want to do it like open studio or Skype?
Well, I mean, both. What's just like, what makes the equipment do you use? What? Now,
do you think
not dirt cheap, but what's like a good starting?
Well, Brian talked about it. It's
$400, you know.
Yeah. You know, our four-person setup for Around Comics was about a $200 Alesis Firewire mixer. We started out with cheap, you know, like $30 mics. We ended up getting upgrading. Due to our wonderful sponsors, TCBS and Instacards, and ended up upscaling our mics to like $100 mics. We had $400
mics.
Yeah,
don't skimp on the mic.
Yeah, the mic.
It's the key to the whole thing.
You know, cables, the whole thing. You know, start with your computer. Most people have a laptop or something that they can already use. GarageBand, if you're a Mac user, comes free with it. It's a really nice editing tool. So yeah, you know, $400 is probably good to start with a basic mixer and some basic mics. That's one of those, the longer you do it, the more your ear is going to want better quality. But don't go out and spend like $1,200 and then like 2 months later you're like, this blows, I don't want to do this anymore.
I mean, it's kind of like any other hobby, right? If you decide you want to ride bikes, you could probably go buy a $600 bicycle because it's awesome, and then a year later you might stop riding. Or you go running, I'm going to buy $100 Nikes. And
I want to play golf. I'm going to buy a $3,000 set of clubs.
Yeah, yeah, anything. So you got to put a little money in, but it doesn't have to be crazy because you can get really great quality. Like the mixer that we used was a freebie, but we have one that we use on the road. It was like $79, and it sounds great.
Well, you can use like Tote Recorder. You can download like $20. You can download Audacity or Pamela just to test it first, just to see if you just test it with a friend. Talk about a book, review a book that you wanna, you just something that you like. Review it. You know, take a half an hour, test the episode, put it up. You know, pay for Hipcast or whatever. It's about $9. Put it up and see if you like it, and then take time. And do the next episode, you do something else. But you have that window to get better every time you do an episode. And you get feedback from other people, and you take that in, and you show other people, you let other people listen to it, and you take feedback. And if you have an open mind when you do it, you can get better with your product.
You know, building on that and the professionalism, if you record something and you listen to it and it doesn't sound good audio quality wise, or you find yourself bored to tears, don't release it. It's okay. You're the only one that'll know.
And what's great about podcasting too is that, I mean, I know that the setup that I started out with is not even close to the setup that I use now. I mean, like, I had this like really, really bad like desktop USB microphone that I was using, and a Skype recorder that dropped like 3/4 of my calls. And I mean, now I'm using hardware to record the Skype, you know, and I'm still not using a mixer to this day, but I have good mics. And really, as long, like, even if you want to skip on the mixer, like if it's just going to be you and a friend, I found this one cord called an XLR splitter that costs like $2 on eBay that I use, like, even like right now at New York Comic Con, that I'm using into my laptop. And yeah, it changed my life, because, you know, to this day I haven't had to spend the money on a mixer. If I ever decide to like do a studio thing where I've got, you know, 4 or 5 people in a room, yeah, I'll upgrade, but I don't have to right now, and I like the way my show sounds, and so far nobody's complaining. So that's something.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Another question?
Yeah. Any tips on editing without a mixer?
You can't ask me because we don't edit our shows.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I do a lot of editing. Do you do?
Yeah, I do the main editing on my show, and I'm anal about it. Like, I'll actually go in there and I'll get rid of the ums, ers, and us. You don't have to. If you don't want to, then you're gonna save yourself hours. but you can use Audacity if you're using Windows. I use Adobe Audition. It works wonders. It's professional quality audio, an audio editor that will cost you a little bit, but you'll see the difference there. But if you don't want to spend that, Audacity is a really good thing to use.
Y'all are still on GarageBand, right, Brian?
Yep, absolutely.
Man, it comes with a Mac. It's multi-track, which is great. I love being able to record on multiple tracks. Now, this is a studio setup because I can turn Sal off. Yeah, I love GarageBand. I think for a free program, it's robust, and you can do pretty much anything you want for quote unquote a talk or talk radio format. I love it.
And to practice and try out editing and recording, it is free on most platforms. I mean, on the Mac, like you said, GarageBand comes
with it. Well, Audacity is on all platforms.
Yeah,
it's free.
It's Mac, Windows, and Linux. Yeah. It's totally free. And there's a huge support base out there, so you can search forums, you've got questions, and there's going to be somebody.
And plugins galore, too. Like, I mean, whatever you want to do in Audacity, you can probably do.
And it is all free. And as far as testing out, I can't stress enough testing out on the mics that you already have, equipment that you already have, see how it sounds. And then decide from there, what do you need to do to improve? Do you need a better mic? Because I've had podcasts that I've listened to where I've talked to the podcasters afterwards, and they're using a mic that's like half the cost of the ones that I bought. So definitely try it out first with the equipment that you have, and then make your plan from there as far as what upgrades do I need to make, based on how much you're enjoying it. I think that definitely will pay off for you, especially starting off.
Yeah.
What would you recommend doing as the best method for getting some readers for if you have a blog, or even getting listeners to let them know that you exist and that you're out there.
Yeah, the question, in case you can hear it, is how do you get people to listen to your show or read your blog? And that's kind of like the million-dollar question.
Produce.
Yeah.
Produce. Write. If you're a blogger and you want people to read your blog, write. Blog. Do it a lot. Seriously, do it a lot. It's you guys probably know search engine optimization more than I do. The way that people find you through Google searches or just hear about you is by producing content. And it can be slow going, but if you want to be a blogger that people read, blog.
And now blogging, you know, has the advantage of, since it's all text, Google finds that, and people can find it easily. If you're podcasting, you've got an hour-long episode, the only thing that Google is going to search is the little one paragraph you write about it. So you better write good keywords in there, and you better have that linked on a website. If it's just on iTunes, Google doesn't search iTunes. So you got to have a blog to list your podcast so that Google can find it so that people will listen. And that's tough, right? It's a challenge. Now, I'll tell you that like at least 70% of our listeners come through iTunes.
Yeah.
So iTunes is where it's at. But iTunes is the Wild West. I mean, there's a million podcasts on there, and how iTunes ranks you based on how many new subscribers you have that week. But if you get one or two new subscribers a week, you're going to be at the bottom of the list, which is why no one's subscribing. You got to get to the top of the list. How do you do that? You got to get somebody to talk about your show.
We haven't done an Around Comics episode in about a year, and we're still in the top four. You know, which tells me that something's flawed there.
Well, right, because people go look at what a top five are. They listen to those, and then they subscribe, and then the next guy comes in, and now it's still in the top five, and it just keeps going. It's a perpetual motion machine, you know, kind of thing.
Cross promotion works wonders. When we started out 4.5 years ago, it was really great that other podcasts were kind enough to shout us out. The only thing is, just you have to understand that podcasts get a lot of people sending them emails all the time saying, "Hey, can you shout out my show?" and things like that. Not everybody's going to be able to, just because they're trying to run their own podcast. But remember, if somebody shouts you out, to just return the favor. And I'm very lucky that a lot of the people sitting here were kind enough when I was starting out to shout me out on their show. And that did a world of wonders for me. And I'm very thankful of that. That's where our show is where it is today. So definitely, you know, try that out. And just be kind about it and understand that if they don't do it, it's not because they don't care or anything like that. It's just because it's very hard with the sheer amount of podcasts out there to try and keep up with everybody. But just keep trying and be respectful, and people will shout you out and put up links. Just return the favor.
And Facebook and Twitter and all those things, you can mention what you want to talk about, what the subject is, and talk to people on message boards. If you want to do a Batman podcast, go to a subject of Batman and just talk about it. If you're knowledgeable about the subject and you have good dialogue with people, they will come to your show. They will give you a chance, and then they will talk to other people and suggest podcasts. I do it all the time. Every time I hear a podcast that I like, I go and I suggest the podcast to other people.
But you guys do Best in Podcast.
Yes.
Which is great. Which is awesome. I appreciate every time.
That's it. The community is huge. Going one step further than shouting somebody out, what we try to do is have guests on from other shows as much as possible. We've had Daryl on, Ziggo, and a bunch of these guys. And, you know, if you're doing a Batman show and somebody's out there doing a great Batman podcast, have them on. They're going to be knowledgeable. And probably on their show, they're going to say, "Hey, I was a guest on so-and-so's show," and check them out as well. It goes a little further than asking for the shout-out. It's kind of more of a give-and-take relationship. And then, again, just like they said, the message boards, Twitter, Facebook, follow as many people as you can. They'll start following you back, retweeting, and that's what we've found to be our biggest growth in the last year. The most hits are coming from Twitter.
Next question.
We're just starting out, and if we could find out what are the top things to avoid, and conversely, what you wish you did earlier in your podcast journey that you can kind of give a heads up to that you want to do this, if there's anything.
So the question was, what do you avoid And what would we have done differently in the early days to make things different?
Well, I would say, first, more than anything, when you're going to share your opinion, don't be rude to a creator. You know, like don't say Rob Liefeld is a bleeping weak. You know, I mean, if you don't like his stuff, say why.
Where's your yellow hat?
Right. I left it at home. Sorry. But you know, I mean, definitely try and think about what you're saying before you're saying it, before actually just saying it. You know, because you might before you know it have people.
Enemies,
yeah. Right? Exactly, and you don't want to be making enemies in this business. You want to be making friends. I mean, you can be critical about something without being disrespectful,
without bashing,
right?
And be honest in your opinion, and talk about something that you love. Don't come into it if you halfway like it because other people find it popular, because then they can tell when you don't care about the subject. So always talk about things that you like, because you have to sit up there on a mic and talk for at least a half an hour, and people can tell when you don't care about what you're talking about. So always do that.
I say right out of the gate, set some goals for yourself. What you want your show to be, and then start working towards them. I mean, there are so many pitfalls in this.
What
thing.
Kind of goals are you talking about?
Well, you know, it's talking to Brian and Jim and Ron and those guys from my fanboy. It's, you know, I think we all had aspirations of podcasts growing to something that, you know, was going to be, you know, maybe bigger than it is now, and still has that opportunity to. And I think we all wanted to be at the bleeding edge of that. My priorities and goals have changed since then, and I'm just back to having a good time with my friends. I mentioned earlier, stuff to avoid is if it doesn't sound good to your ear, it's not going to sound good to someone else's ear. Yeah, if you record an episode and it's a turd, you know, that's okay. We've all done it. I've probably got, you know, in the vault, probably 10 or 12 episodes where I'm just like, man, you know, okay, yeah, there's too much bourbon that night. It's just not going to happen.
I think that's important, especially now. We had the benefit of starting our show within the first couple months that podcasts existed. People were excited that there were podcasts. They didn't really care if they listened to a couple episodes and they kind of sucked, because it was all new and exciting, right? Imagine the first guy who ever watched a movie, it could be the crappiest movie ever, like Moving Pictures, you know, that's exciting.
They're talking about Flash, this sucks.
So, but nowadays, the audience is a lot more discriminating. They know what sounds good. They're listening to shows like Leo Laporte's Twit, and that's done as like a professional show. So if your first two episodes, if they're not so great, if the audio's crackling because your $20 Radio Shack microphone isn't cutting it, don't release it, because someone's going to listen and then they're never going to listen again. So you need to raise the bar for yourself right from the get-go, otherwise you're shooting yourself in the foot. I think that's the biggest mistake, because people, like Daryl said, people want to try new podcasts. They're trying podcasts all the time, but they only need to try it once to make it in their mind.
I'd avoid taking things personally, too. You get a lot of criticism in podcasting, and then you'll get a lot of positive comments. Usually positive comments, because the people who are looking for your podcast outweigh the criticisms. But there's going to be a couple people that are going to send you those emails where your show just wasn't for them. And, you know, just respect the fact that they listened to your show, and because that goes back to keeping a reputation for yourself. You know, if you definitely feel that the issue was that you're not their show, just be respectful of them, because, you know, ultimately they may come back. I've had listeners who have critiqued our show and then have come back later because they found that they missed something, or so. I mean, you got to keep that in mind, that those people who walk away may return and find that, you know, you ultimately were what they were looking for. And
hey, when I got a nasty email, I just emailed Charlito back and told him.
That's why I have this bitter face on the whole time.
next question, right here.
Do you have like copyrighted items? Like, let's say you were to play a clip from a movie or just like a theme song or something. Obviously, no one has the money like the Clear Channel has, like, for a radio company.
You know what? I just let it rip.
Well,
and we've been, there's a song that we have that we play on our intro, and thank God this band hasn't found us, or they don't care, or they like us enough that they let us use it. We just let it rip. And so we play stuff and we just see what happens. And if we get contacted, and someone says quit running that, then we'll do it, whatever. But
I'm going to be straight about this. Podcasts usually are not big enough to be targets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless you're putting out an episode where your episode is, this is the audio from this movie, and you're going to play an entire movie, I highly doubt that you're going to have to worry about anything. But, you know, if like what Charlie was said, if someone does contact you, then get rid of it. That's it. Just move on to something else.
Do it until they send you the cease and desist.
Right, right.
I mean, we've only got one lawsuit so far.
Yeah,
we got one, yeah. Email the nice lawyer back and say sorry, and it worked out okay.
I think you gotta be smart about it, though, right? Don't make the theme song to your podcast the newest Lady Gaga song. you're inviting it on yourself. If you're discussing the Thor movie and you play 10 seconds or 20 seconds from the Thor trailer on your show, that's probably okay. That's probably legitimate fair use. In a court of law, you could probably argue that. Not that you would ever have the money to do that. But I'm just saying, like, and that's even questions that big podcasts ask themselves. Leo discusses this on his show all the time. What exactly is fair use? It's not really figured out yet. And you just have to use your head and be smart. You know, I'll play copyrighted music.
I've been 20-ish seconds for
right. If an artist comes on and talks about, wow, my inspiration for that page was I was listening to the Beastie Boys and that song, and you know, if I have it in my iTunes library, I'll quickly start fading that song in just to kind of let people like, oh, okay, and then I'll fade it right back out. Just it gives it a little touch, you know. But I'm not going to kick off the podcast with "Hey, ladies."
Yeah, and I mean, even guys like Leo have had episodes taken off of YouTube because of, you know, NBC contacting them saying, you know, you can't air Conan O'Brien on your show, take it off. But, you know, what do? They move on to the next episode. That's it. And the episode's still available elsewhere. So, you know, that sometimes that will just happen.
I think it can also serve whoever, like La Tigra, our theme song. I can't even tell you, probably more emails about our theme song. And we've told people, and I'm sure they've gone and either purchased it or found it or downloaded it somehow. But the point is I think it can also serve people.
They got my 99 cents from iTunes. Yeah, sure. Chicago. I'm from Chicago, and there's a great record label there called Bloodshot. And I emailed Bloodshot and said, "Hey, we do this podcast, comic book podcast. I'd like to use some of your music." And they emailed me back and said, "That's great. Drop by the office, and we'll give you some CDs."
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Nice question.
How do you actually? I guess it's more for the long-distance like podcast. How do you actually kind of convince your co-host to actually be there for every episode? Like, how do you get kind of wrangle? How do you wrangle your co-host? Because I've done like about 30 episodes, and now it's sort of we've kind of grown apart because of just distance and school's ended. And
well, I think I'm probably the best person to answer this because I've gone through 3 co-hosts. If something's not working out anymore, put out a call for somebody new. You know, I mean, people drift apart. People have new things come up in their life where they might not be able to, you know, do it anymore. But, you know, as long as you're still friends in the end, you know, don't keep doing something to the point where you're going to hate each other for it because, you know, you're taking time out of your busy life or something. You know, because, I mean, the co-host that I have now, I freaking love the guy. You know, I mean, we get along. You know, he contacts me sometimes to record, and that's the way it happens, you know. So I mean, yeah, if it's not working out for you, then you know, you might just want to find somebody new and let that guy know whenever he can make it, hop on the show.
Like, how do you make it so you can actually schedule time so like for everyone to be there? Because I've sort of
this is the key for us.
Yeah,
we have up to 8 cast members. Okay, so anybody can be on any episode, and it generally averages out to about 4 or 5 people per episode. We've been doing it for 5.5 years, so the past 4 years, we record every Sunday and every Monday night. It's that simple, from 6 to 10, or thereabouts, every night. We start at 6, and it's just on our schedule. Our wives, our girlfriends, whatever, they know. It's 6 to 10, Sunday, Monday night. Don't schedule anything. Once in a while, you know, your mom's birthday or something, that's when you miss an episode, but there are 4 other guys to take your place. If it's a 2-man show, obviously, it's a different story, but you just have to set a schedule. If your show is weekly, record the same exact time every week, and then it's easy.
When we got started, my co-host is one of my best friends, but I didn't originally plan on having a set co-host. Because of a lot of what Brian's saying, I didn't know if my co-host would be around it, similar to what you're saying. But we had conversations after the first time we recorded together where it turned out he was as into it as I was. And, you know, it becomes a commitment thing. And you, but you got to have those conversations. They've got to be honest conversations as far as, are they as committed as you are? And if they're not, you just need to realize that and plan accordingly.
And Sean's a good kisser.
I think the bottom line is that people's lives change. And like we said earlier, for 99 out of 100 podcasts, it's a hobby. Somebody can change their job, something happens in their lives, and you know, things can change. We have a cast of 7 all over the country. We average about 4 per show. You know, try to plan ahead as much as you can. We have a calendar on Google Docs that everybody can get to, and we kind of sign in and out. I can't make it, I can make it. Let's move this to Monday. Schedule things around. Just going back to the mistakes made, the best thing you can do is kind of get together when you're thinking about doing this and make sure everybody's on the same page. You don't want one guy who wants to do it for a living and another guy who, it's a hobby, maybe I'll show up once in a while, and then somebody ends up doing all the editing and then the other guy's not showing up so much. It can really cause friction. Take it from me. So I think that's what I would suggest.
Yeah. And you know, if you have a scheduled recording and for some reason your regular co-host can't make it or whatever, I've had instances where literally, you know, 2 hours before a show, my co-host has to cancel due to, you know, different obligations. I immediately hop on Twitter, and usually Daryl's around to hop on when necessary, and we get a show out, you know, so that's a good way to do it.
David Price will talk to anyone at any time.
It's true story.
You gotta have people that are into what you're doing. If you have to have somebody, if you're gonna do Spider-Man podcast, you gotta pick somebody who is into Spider-Man. You know, or if you do a podcast that's about different subjects, have a group of people that, two of us are gonna be on the Superman one because we read Superman, the other person doesn't. Be flexible. You know, don't take it so personal. But have people that are dependable and that will be honest with you and say, you know what, I'm not enjoying it anymore, I don't want to do it. Fine, don't do it. You don't have to, but then you can find somebody else that does, you know, that wants to be on the show. I've morphed the show from it being one person to it being 7 at a time because we just had so much fun talking to each other on Skype when it wasn't even a show about a subject, about anything from Dalvin Cook and what he said, anything like that. You have fun. We had so much fun doing it that we kept coming back week after week doing the show, and then it just morphed into that. So sometimes your show can change from what you originally think you wanted to do, and you wind up, because of how you bounce off of somebody else, you wind up coming up with another show. So you just be flexible on that.
Next question.
Non-comic-related podcasts do you guys listen to?
There was a girl here that left, Keith and the girl, they were here, and I used to listen to their show. I don't know if anyone listens to that show.
What's the name of it?
Keith and the Girl. Yeah, it's good. It's a good, funny show, and it's like out of their apartment, so you kind of get their daily life.
I listen to a lot of the This Week in Tech podcasts, like Mac Greg Weekly and something like that, because I'm a nerd. But I also listen to Coverville.
I love Coverville.
Yeah, which is a great music podcast. Anybody who likes covers of music, that's definitely one to listen to. It's very well produced, and sound quality is fantastic for music.
I am a total NPR nerd. Radio Lab is fucking awesome.
I also like the Moth podcast. I don't know if anyone knows that. That's great. It's stories. They stage these people just get up and they're storytellers. They're very short. And you usually get these quick soundbite stories. It's a great podcast. It's one of the highest ones. And then I like the Hollywood podcast, which is this actor, Tim Coyne, who just does these great episodes about his life, and how, you know, all the stuff going on in his life. And it's very personal, but I like it.
Well, I listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. It's a science fiction podcast. Sci-Fi Party Line, I'm into, you know, a lot of science fiction. There's a Dragon Con one where they do books. You know, different fantasy books, sci-fi. They mix it up a little bit. But like TV podcasts, I'll check out. Mike O'Mara is one that he was on the radio, and now he's moved to just podcasting. So it's stuff like that.
You know, we talked about professionalism and which ones have made it, and NPR kind of brought me back to this. Film Spotting, which started out as a film called Cinecast. Okay, I totally ripped off the From Chicago. Totally ripped that off the Film Spotting. So great podcast.
I suppose like Dr. Upadhyay. So I'm a big Doctor Who fan, and Dr. Upadhyay is excellent.
Next question. Okay.
I was just curious if you felt that the look and the feel of your website is as important, even more important than the podcast.
Great question.
Being that the website is going to be the face of your podcast, since it's a faceless business, no one's really going to see you guys. So
okay, the question is the look and feel of your website as important as your podcast itself? I'm a web developer and have been since 1994, so my whole world is websites, right? I think if your website sucks, I think that's bad for your podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very serious. Yeah, like, you know, image is everything. The whole world, whether we like it or not, whether a bunch of geeks dressed up in crazy colored stuff and costumes, you know, want to admit it or not, image is everything. And when you're out on that street, you walk down Manhattan, if you don't look good, people don't take you seriously. And if your website doesn't look good, people won't take you seriously. If you put a request out to a creator and say, hey, would you do an interview, and here's my website, and they go to it and it looks like a kid threw it together, and maybe that's okay. Maybe you don't know how to do web work, right? So that's hard for you, or you know, it's expensive to pay somebody to do it. Okay, but you gotta figure out how to make it look the best it can, because if it looks like crap, you know, it's not the end of the world. And I don't mean to see it sound all doom and gloom, but I think, and
you're presenting yourself.
You are. It's your first thing people find you on the website, right?
And keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it, like, the subject of your show. Like, you can do a part on it where people know each person that's on the show. Give a little bio. Put some samples of the episodes up on the show where they can click onto it, listen to it. You know,
put every episode you've ever recorded on your website.
If you can. Yes. Yeah, if you do that, you know, keep it active. You always, you know, add things to the website so that you keep it current.
Your website is a great branding tool, and back to the whole professionalism thing, it's important. If you're going to brand, CGS does an amazing job of branding themselves, not as a show, as a brand. iFanboy brands themselves as iFanboy. They probably, you guys do two of the best jobs of all podcasts of branding yourself, and the website is a big part of that.
Right.
It's important. It's you don't have a better website than your show. You know, concentrate on your show, but you know, don't. Yeah, the website is, it's important. It's better to have simple and good than complex and bad.
Here's my number one hint for people who have a podcast and have a website that is associated with it. Your website is to advertise your podcast,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when I go to someone's website and I can't find a link to their podcast to actually listen to an episode, there's a major problem there. And I'm not just talking about, you know, a little comic podcast. I've gone to major podcast websites and go, where the hell are the old episodes? I don't want to hear this new one. The topic doesn't sound interesting. I want to find your 37 others, and I can't find them. And I'm scrolling, and I'm looking, and I'm reading all this crap, and I'm looking at this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with their podcast, and then I go, I'm out of here, and it's done.
And registering a website is relatively cheap. So, I mean, if you do just, you know, decide to do a podcast and you want to register the name of your podcast.com, do that. And I would recommend, I mean, I've been using WordPress for a long time now, and it does a really good job. And don't be afraid, if you don't have web experience, don't be afraid to use a preloaded template if it looks good. And that's part of it. I mean, there's tools as well, like the Blueberry PowerPress I use, which is a great plugin to have immediate MP3 download links on every single post you do. It offers a streaming option for people who can't download things at work and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. And what I did as well was, you know, for like art for the website and for the podcast, ask your listeners. You know, because sometimes you have some really talented listeners that might be willing to just give you stuff for free. And stuff for free is a lot cheaper than paying somebody.
Well, and if you want to, Libsyn is probably the biggest podcast host out there. Their cheapest plan is $5 a month, and it includes a blog and everything that all is tied through. You go to this nice little secret web page, you log in with your username and password, you upload your episode, and boom, it just updates the website and puts it on iTunes and all that stuff, and it's $5 a month. and then they serve an unlimited number. You can have a million listeners, and it's fine. It's still $5 a month.
Podcasts without Libsyn will be like cars without gasoline. Seriously.
That much.
Hey, unlimited bandwidth, that was our... It scared us whenever we first started. It's 230 listeners, our first episode. And I got Sal coming down to my office saying, oh shit, we're almost out of bandwidth. It's like, and then we found Libsyn, and so we don't have to worry about it. It's a big deal. And Libsyn, God bless Libsyn.
Yeah. Next question.
Do you tend to find that more review podcasts versus like a thematic podcast works better? So you can either review a book or a movie or kind of like base it around a theme or an idea.
The question is it... What's more appealing, a review-based show or a theme-based show?
I do both. So, and I mean, I usually have a set time of the month that we wind up doing our review episodes, and we didn't used to do that until we introduced it, and we were getting listeners saying that they really enjoy our reviews, so we kept it going, and that was a way to do it. So, really, I think it's more important what you want to do. Like, if you just want to do a review show, do it. And if it works for you, great. If you just want to do a topic show, do it. That's great. But, you know, another great thing is to let your listeners know if you want to decide to do a review show, you can even poll the audience and see what they want out of
you. Now, I question, to some extent, I question the sense in polling your audience, right? This is a fine line, right? Because, like in the advertising business, right, if you make three samples of, you know, which one of these designs do you want, and every designer is like, yeah, that third one, that sucks, but I had to throw it in there because I needed three, the client will inevitably pick the third one, the one that sucks. That happens every single time. And if you let the listeners decide what your show is, it's not your show anymore, and why you do it. You know, I've been a Howard Stern listener since 1989. Whether you love him or hate him, it's not the question. The question is... The point is, he's the most successful person in radio in all of history. And he always says, I don't care what my listeners want, I do the show I want to do. And he has a pretty damn good show, right? And that's kind of what we do. We do what we want to do. Now, if we enjoy doing segment A, and we get 1,000 emails that say segment A is awesome, we're going to do segment A a little more often than we might have before. But I'm not going to do segment A because they decided they want it if I don't feel like doing it. Because it's not our show and our heart and soul won't be in it. So I think that's...
If there's one piece of advice that you take away from this, that is it.
Yeah.
That is it.
And doing the show naked.
Do your show. And what?
I said, and doing the show naked.
And yes. That's what I'm saying. And do your show. Do your show, not what other people want to listen to. Do what you want to listen to. I mean, this is a small thing. It's fun. Do what you want to do, what you want to listen to. And if you want to do a review show, do a review show. If you want to talk to three of your best friends that live in weird parts of the world, do that. Just have fun with it. And we have people on 11 o'clock that love things and hate things, and I don't care because I have fun every week with my buddies.
Well, I think you build a relationship with an audience based on if you're enjoying your show too. If you love what you're doing and there's people who are listening that like it because they're liking what they're listening to, you're going to build a long-term relationship. If you don't like what you're doing, there's going to come a point where you're going to crack and just say, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't like it. So that's really important. It's not that you don't care about your audience base. You do. But you want to make sure that you're enjoying what you're doing so they're getting attached to something that you're both like.
And don't be scared to change your show. It's your show.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. Don't, you know, think I have to do A when I want to do B. Just do what you feel is right for your show, and people will come to you because they know you're enjoying what you do.
I spend 40 hours a week having somebody tell me what they want me to do.
Well, we have to wrap it up here. You can all our shows, you know, we all have websites. There's the Comic Podcast Network. You can type comic book in iTunes in the podcast section, and you'll find there are literally hundreds of comics related podcasts. And if you've never listened to a podcast before, go listen to one. I don't care if it's about comics. Type in, you know,
don't start at the beginning. Start with the latest episode.
Yeah.
God, don't start
yeah,
with
yeah,
the first.
Yes. If you like comics, you have to start with issue one.
And a lot of us are in the podcast arena over in the exhibitor hall as
500
well.
500 area.
Yeah, so if you guys want to stop by and talk to us at any time during the show, we're there.
Please do.
So, yeah, say hello.
All right.
Come to Rock Comic Con tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Rock Comic Con. Oh, yeah. A certain editor-in-chief from a certain large company may be coming out to play guitar.
Bob Harris. I saw him play
Joe
in Seattle, and it was really good.
Stanley.
Joey Coon.
Stanley.
Thanks, everybody.